It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we've run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm Mel. Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody, to the show, Doc Young, alongside my broadcast partner, wrestling's own Les Thatcher. You're listening to the award-winning Wrestling Weekly. We're award-winning, Les.
I had heard that. Someone else had made me aware of that, not my broadcast partner, Doc Young.
No.
Did you mention what this show is?
Yeah.
This is an award-winning show, and welcome to the show.
I said,
but in case you've never been here before, it's Wrestling Weekly.
That's what I said. I said, the award-winning Wrestling Weekly.
Did you say Wrestling Weekly?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going deaf. Now, let me ask you this. Since we won Show of the Year, does that mean we're on HD Internet Radio?
Yes, we are going to be coming crystal clear. You will hear everything in the background from now on. You'll hear my cat meowing.
All the lines in my old ugly face.
It'll be like we're in your living room.
And if Doc has a zit, well, you got to hide those. The girls won't like that at all.
In case you don't know what we're talking about, the Wrestling Radio Awards was Sunday, and Wrestling Weekly was named the 2007 Wrestling Radio Show of the Year. So that was really cool. If you want to catch the whole broadcast, the WRA repeat is Thursday at 11 o'clock on showdown.net. You can hear the whole broadcast. We're going to play later on in the show.
Can they get it by going through our website, too? Or?
No. You'll have to go to showdown.net exclusively.
Showdown what?
Showdown.net.
Okay.
And that's where you can listen to the award show. We're going to play our portion of the show a little bit later in the program.
Of course, I won't get to hear it.
You won't get to hear it. I'll send it to you, Les.
Never mind. I won't tell you what I'll sit here and do.
We'll be in a commercial break.
How long? Right? Oh, okay. Okay.
Today, guys, on the show, we've got Jimmy Jacobs. He is one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions.
I thought the Briscoe brothers were the Tag Team Champions.
No.
They got, okay, they're new champions.
Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black, they won it right before the new year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed something there, yep. But yeah. Then I always miss something.
And also on the show tonight, for Hot Topic, Brian Alvarez is going to be with us. So that's pretty cool. It's going to be a pretty good show tonight. I know you're excited.
I can't get too excited at this age. I could be a heart attack or a stroke or something. So I'll try to hold it to a mild roar.
You do that, Les.
The only thing that excites me is Hornswoggle is qualified for the Royal Rumble.
Yes, that's exciting.
Which is and Sharkboy came out of a coma. These are the important things in professional wrestling for me.
As the moves are applied, which would be the name of the soap opera-esque goings on that are going on in wrestling right now.
Who cares?
As the moves are applied.
That's why I'm DVRing American Idol. Without a Trace, Dance Wars, Bruno and Carrie Ann. I mean, anything that may have some realism to it, I'm hip to.
You would not be able to get along without that DVR. You better hope it never breaks down.
Well, you know, I will say that Jeff Hardy's learning to work, and I know there's going to be listeners out there saying, what's he saying? Is he drunk?
Right.
Is he on drugs? Jeff Hardy's learning. Jeff Hardy is learning. Matt Hardy knew how to. When I say that, I mean he's maturing. He's getting away from being a spot monkey. It's not all about flip flop and fly. And he's doing a hell of a job.
And it's really cool. I like that.
But there's something to be said there for all the young guys who think that doing 75,000 high spots in 30 seconds is what it's about. It's not.
Right.
And he would have never got to the point he's at if that were the case. You know, if he were still back doing that same shtick. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What I will say, I watched TNA Global Impact. My God, why can't they do that every week? I mean, it was interesting, it was entertaining, it was informative, and absence, or very noticeable by its total absence, was stupid comedy.
Maybe some of the creative members were sick that day.
Let's hope. And maybe they'll be, I don't wish that they die or anything, but if they'll just stay sick. No, I mean, when I say this, it the lead-in and tell why the guys were there, the Nagata angle match was solid. It was two athletes in competition for a title. It was well paced. The whole show was entertaining, and if they could present me with that every week, my hands would probably never touch my fast forward button.
Yeah.
I love Shark Boy. He's one of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most stupid, ignorant, sophomoric, childish crap I've ever seen.
Did I
mention ignorant, stupid, childish, sophomoric? I hope so.
I think all of those. Do you think Shark Boy would agree?
No, he got a paycheck.
Well, I know, but you know, you have a paycheck, and then you.
Well,
have
he's smart enough to know what's right and what's But again, let me say this: an old timer said to me years ago, "We're all hookers. Just a matter of establishing price."
Right.
Okay, we're all selling our asses. Okay, and in this day and age, sadly enough, there's only a couple places where you can sell your ass.
Uh-huh.
And if you disagree, then you get a job at Kmart or something. And so it's, you know, are there a lot of people in the, you know, that's the sad thing. I talk to fans, young and old, you know, working on one of my columns for Insider today. I said, I suppose in this column I should reiterate that I am old, but I'm not bitter. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not lobbying for a job. It's just the way I feel about the business or the way it's being prostituted.
Right.
And it is, you know. And I'm just not up for that. I'm sorry, you know. My fast forward finger is sore and, you know, because it's been used so much.
Right.
On everybody's program.
No. Not good stuff going on, but yeah. Global Impact was a change of pace. It was a good change.
Well, not a change. It was what the business should be.
Mm-hmm.
It is what professional wrestling is or should be. You know, there was no silliness, no crap, no garbage. Shark Boy didn't sound like Steve Austin. Are you ribbing me? and I read it. It's a spoiler, so if you're listening, cover your ears if you don't want to know. I guess he beats Elix Skipper. And does it the whole thing like Steve Austin, for Christ's sake.
That's crazy.
You know, if you have a fetish about being Steve Austin, I mean, I don't mean Shark Boy. I'm talking about the idiot that writes his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, why are you, you know, leave that company alone and try to do something on your own.
Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. Anyway,
I didn't.
Yeah, but my whole point is Global Impact was a very good show.
Excellent.
It was well done, and like I say, if I knew that was what was going to be on Thursday nights every week, man, I would want to see it.
I may have to check that out. I may have to check it out this week.
You did not. Well, it's not going to be on this week, idiot.
Oh.
It's over. It was only the 1 hour. That's why they had a 3-hour special. I actually, my DVR didn't pick it up last Thursday, but it was replayed last night at 11 o'clock, and I DVR'd it and watched it this afternoon.
I'll have to get a copy from somebody, that's all.
Well, but I mean, you know, the other 2 hours is the other stupid 2 hours.
Well. Before we officially get into the news portion of the program tonight, I was thinking, Les, you know.
You were. There we go. Now.
Now
Now we're in for it.
You know how this always starts. I was thinking, and, you know, seeing that we, you know, we won the Show of the Year award, I was starting to think maybe we need, you know, a new hip attitude for the show. And I think that we should get a new hip nickname. You know, we've got Wrestling Weekly, which is kind of long on the tongue and everything like that. But you see all these properties, you know, they're using cool short nicknames like Kentucky Fried Chicken is KFC and McDonald's is Mickey D's, you know. Our initials are WW, so maybe we should call ourselves Double W.
It sounds like you're stuttering.
Okay.
Double W.
How about this? You know, sometimes dub is short for W, so what about Dub Dub?
Two men in a tub.
Rub-a-dub-dub.
Any of you that are listening, the Les Thatcher Wellness Program goes into effect starting tomorrow morning, and Doc will be drug tested.
All right, let's forget that idea.
And we know his alcohol levels will be way above what they should be. Speaking of that, you know, and I'm going to touch on this. Maybe nobody here even knows, but I got it came to my – it was – mentioned to me, two of my guys, well, Derek Nykerk started with me. Derek was released by WWE, which I think was, Derek's a good kid and a hell of a worker. I thought he and Doug Basham as Heyman's body, mask enforcers, bodyguards on ECW would have made a great heel tag team, but then I guess the problem was that they actually could work, so that kind of eliminated them. I'm being facetious, obviously. But anyway, apparently he tested positive. Chet the Jet, Chet Jablonski, Neil Brisbiak, whatever you want to call him, was suspended for 30 days. Neil started with me from right out of high school. And I guess his levels were high to some extent. But, you know, people are saying, what do I feel about this? I feel that they're my kids. Mm-hmm. And like any, you know, I look at the kids that have endured my my training camp and made a place themselves in this business as my kids. And if they're right, I'll go to the wire for them. And if they're wrong, they're wrong, you know, but they're still my kids. And like parents, you know, it frustrates me, but I love them. You know, what can I say? Talk to Neil, talk to Chet. You know, he's, well, anyway, I don't get into the details. It's nobody's business but his, but it wasn't that he was doing something. He was under a doctor's care, but his levels were high. And so anyway, he's on a 30-day suspension. I just hope it doesn't cost him down the road.
He's not fired, though?
No. At least he wasn't, that wasn't the case.
Okay.
And he was not, and when I say doctor, it wasn't a internet doctor. It was
right.
His family physician.
It wasn't Signature Pharmacy.
No, it was not.
Okay.
He was his family physician, nevertheless, I guess simply because his levels were higher than they should have been, then he still was suspended. So anyway, that's the story. Derek, I have not had the opportunity to talk to, but I hope I don't know where he'll go, what he'll do. He would be a great acquisition for somebody. Like I say, he's a good solid hand, and a good kid. And I really care about them both. But I just want to touch on that in case it was, it were to
come
up.
Well, I hope they can, get past this and get back to the business of wrestling, you know.
Yep.
To follow up on a report last week, guys, regarding Dave Bautista getting pulled over by a guy claiming to be a fake police officer.
He was a fake police officer. No, he didn't claim to be a fake. He claimed to be a real police officer, Doc.
Yes,
he was a fake.
I misspoke.
To bother you with these details. I really do.
By a guy who turned out to be a fake police officer.
Yes.
CantonRep.com has an article up noting that the guy was actually an 18-year-old wrestling fan seeking an autographed picture from Batista. The 18-year-old's currently facing a first-degree misdemeanor charge, impersonating police officer. Which brings up to 180 days in jail if convicted. He turned himself into police last Wednesday, and he was released shortly afterwards when news of the story started to circulate. The teen's father did have a quote. He says about his son, he had a camera, and he wanted to get a picture of him up close and an autograph, and it didn't work out. He knew better. He shouldn't have done it. He's in trouble over it now, and he's pretty upset about the whole thing. He's willing to do everything he has to do.
Okay.
That was a weird little, gonzo story there.
Well, people, in the midst of people all want this. I've never heard of that one for an autograph, but it, you know, if you're looking for me to be surprised, I won't be. Let me, before we move any further, let me mention once again, I'll be in Richmond, Virginia, March 14th, 15th, and 16th at Ground Zero Wrestling at their training center, www.gxwwrestling.com, where you can call Dave McLeod at 804-356-0583 if you're interested in signing up or just get more details on what we're doing. But we're going to have a three-day training camp, and unless your name's Austin or Flair or something, come and learn something. And I look forward to Dickie Steinborn, an old friend of mine and a top hand in the business back in the day. Lives up in Richmond. He'll be hanging out, I'm sure. And also, if you are a wrestler, an announcer, referee, a promoter, the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion in Mobile, the first weekend in March at the Mobile International Speedway. It's just really laid back, a fun gig. I think I'm doing the show for High Impact Wrestling as well on Sunday afternoon there. When I say I'm doing a show, probably doing the play-by-play for their DVR.
For the DVD. Yes.
I misspoke. there I go being human again. I have to stop that. Anyway, Mobile is just, it's a fun time. A lot of the guys from my generation are there. A lot of the young guys, Gulf Coast Wrestling Reunion gives awards every year, and the last couple years they do what's called the Horizon Award. Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer is kind of oversees that. But anyway, what that is for the top independent wrestler in the area over the previous year, and that's voted on by the other independent wrestlers. So it's but anyway, we hang out. We're going down on Wednesday, but the whole thing officially starts. It's Friday and Saturday, but people are in there Thursday, Friday, Saturday out at the racetrack. They do skits, they pantomimes, comedy. It's all home cooked dinners, meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon. It's a great time. So
sounds good.
But it's not open to the public. Oh. It is strictly for those involved in the wrestling business. So if you're so inclined, come join us.
So if I just happen to
you qualified. You promoted a show and ring announced at a show.
All right.
You have crossed the barrier.
Yes. All right. You guys can check out all the details at lesthatcher.com and epwt.com if you didn't catch that all. It has all the details of Les's upcoming appearances.
Yes.
And a lot of other good stuff.
Placed there by the one and only Dr. Young.
Yeah. Excellent. So you got a great webmaster, too.
Okay, whatever.
According to a report by PW Insider, former WWE Women's Champion Candice Michelle has told people she hopes to be back in the ring for WWE within the next month.
Oh, thank God.
Candice has made some appearances recently. She looks ready to go.
I was so afraid. You know what? And I don't know if anybody liked it. Well, I guess the big deal was because it was Mickey James' hometown, she did a job last night. And that never crossed my mind until I read it this morning on a website. But I thought that was, that was a good match.
It was a good match. I saw it live. It was awesome. Not live, as in I was standing there on TV. I saw it
on TV.
Yes, I didn't.
Yes.
I didn't record and watch later last night. I watched it live, so it was pretty
cool. Yes, I watched it as well. Yeah, and I thought it was, it was a good match. Now I know there's been comparison of the Glamazon with Awesome Kong. And the comparison isn't a comparison. Kong is Kong, and she's not technically sound. And when I say that, I know she's getting over, with the TNA crowd. But, there's little things that I won't even go into because you'd almost have to see them for me to explain them when I say technically sound. But I like Beth Phoenix's work. She comes across, I think solid. And I had a solid little match last night. A couple things I noticed, too. That I won't say they were distressing, but you know, when I watch, I also watch what goes on behind the wrestlers in the ring in terms of what's happening with the audience or you, not happening.
You read the signs and stuff?
No, no, I don't read the signs. If you hold up and say, "Hi, Mom, here I am," or you'll see some idiot on his cell phone waving and talking. He's obviously talking to somebody, which is what I'd always pay $50-$60 for.
My favorite sign is, "The guy behind me can't see."
Yeah, whatever, you know. But anyway, what I was going to say is two things really caught me, they're not good things. I'm not knocking the people that were in the ring at the time. It's a commentary, I guess, on things not getting over so strong. Jericho's interview didn't affect the people the way I felt that it should have. And once Helmsley had beaten everybody in the building and stood there and flexed, there wasn't a huge reaction to that either.
Not really, no.
No.
I think the fans are affected themselves anyway by being at a live national TV taping. It seems like the only time the fans really get up and cheer or do something is when they think the camera might be on.
Well, you know what? I don't know how to take that, honestly. I mean, I honestly don't. It's, you know, there's part of your job is to affect the fans.
Right.
As a performer. You know, I'm not singling out. I mean, Chris just cut a promo, you know. So anyway, but I just, you know, with Helmsley, after he, you know, after that whole thing, I was watching. He was standing there flexing and doing his thing, and it was like, okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think the whole crowd is conditioned anymore that...
Well, I think you know, to a certain degree, a lot of them are, I don't know. Well, you know, here's my question. Why do they go? I don't know. Maybe to be on television.
Right.
Hold
up,
know.
Those WrestlingWeekly.com signs, guys.
Yeah, right. Okay. But you know, it's a strange thing. I mean,
yeah.
It really is, because that's, you know, I say that's your job is to control, you know, control the emotions of the audience.
I think it's the overall perception of wrestling. A lot of guys that go to the live tapings, you got hardcore fans, of course, but then you got a lot of casual fans who think, you know, okay, Jericho's hot, but I know this is all fake, so I'm going to cheer when he comes out.
Well,
I'm
see,
gonna say woo-woo.
But this is my problem with goofiness and sophomore comedy and crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I was
when Hornswoggle, you know, and I know Finley set up the pin, but when Hornswoggle, you know, that's that tells me it's Fantasy Island.
Right.
When Shark Boy, when his family's wearing masks and the doctor's named Fish and. Or, you know, or Solomon or Salmon or whatever the hell it is, you know that's gaga, too. I mean, so how, you know, and then in the next segment you expect me to get into it and believe it.
Right.
And shift gears emotionally and be serious. And, well, whether they care or not, I don't know, but you can't turn people on and off like that. It's not with a switch, you know.
Right.
And so it just, it kills a lot of the effectiveness of what... And again, I go back to global impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people there were into suplexes, and because that's the way they're conditioned. Now, somebody's going to say, people aren't buying that anymore, and I'm going to say, no, if you don't know how to sell it, they certainly are not.
Right.
You know, that's like we can all be given Lexus sedans away for $1.95, but one of us is going to sell more than the other simply because we've sold the concept and ourselves before we sold the car.
Right.
And that's the problem in trying to get around the fact that some of these guys, some of the people, I won't use the word talent, some of the people on these rosters aren't tremendous workers once the bell rings. So you try to cover it with bad comedy or goofy costumes or whatever, which doesn't work, but it certainly dilutes what you're trying to do when you actually try to get serious.
Right.
You know,
and
so
who's going to take the blame for this? Chris Jericho.
No, I don't think Jericho takes the blame. Jericho's, you know, here's, talent is talent. You, you know, to me, it's the simple thing of years ago, and somebody can say, oh, he's wanted to turn the clock back. No, I don't want to turn the clock back. You know, if somebody has great in-ring talents, then you feature them in the ring. If their in-ring talents are relatively mediocre and they're better talkers, then you feature them as talkers and hold their time between the ropes down to a minimum. I don't see anybody paying attention to that any longer.
Right.
You know? And again, there's always been comedy in the business to a certain degree.
Right.
But now they're trying to make it a comedy hour, so it is.
Right.
So why am I going to be, you know, you give me 45 minutes of comedy and try to sell me 5 minutes of serious? It's like, yeah, okay.
Right. Now, when I say Jericho's going to take the blame, what I mean is that WWE isn't going to, you know, Vince McMahon, he's not going to say, okay, well, we condition the fans to think that this is all just a stupid circus show, and that's why, you know, they didn't react to Chris Jericho's promo. No, they're going to say, oh, Chris isn't over with the fans. That's what's going to happen.
Well, you know, part of getting over is how you are put over.
Right.
And how, you know, how the, well, again, now it's creative department. Then it was the booker. How the booker, you know, handles you, how he puts you out there, what he has you do.
Right.
And, you know, again, that's part of the equation. I think the whole thing with Hornswoggle being in the Royal Rumble was ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't think Jericho did anything. I don't think he could have done anything different than he did last night.
Well, you know, that's and when he came through the door, it should have been a battle upward to get to Randy Orton.
Right.
Opposed to, well, see, I've been here 15 minutes, I'm going to wrestle Randy Orton. Well, there's not a lot to anticipate from that at that point, see? Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and anticipation is part of it. Again, it goes back to my analogy. You remember the first time you saw your girlfriend naked, but you don't remember the thousandth.
Right.
You know, so when you take away any time, or as the old-timers used to tell me, you don't go to a strip club, the dancers don't come out naked and put their clothes back on.
Right.
Because then there's nothing to anticipate. So, you know, that's part of this business. And, again, everyone trying to reinvent the wheel, and the wheel rolls very nicely as when it's round, I think. But then, hey, what do I know?
This is true. Guys, we've got a ton more news to get to in this program. We are going to take a break right now, though. When we come back, we've got Brian Alvarez. He's going to join us for Hot Topic. We're going to do some HD talk. There was a lot of stories about, regarding the premiere of the high-definition broadcast of Raw last night. We're going to get to all that good stuff. And don't forget, Ring of Honor Jimmy Jacobs is going to be joining us in just a little bit. We're going to take you back to Sunday right now at the Wrestling Radio Awards, and we're going to hear the final presentation of the night for Show of the Year, our acceptance speech, and we'll be right back, guys, after this. Don't forget, if you want to catch the entire award show, it's Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern on Showdown.net. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's the award-winning Dub Dub. We'll be right back.
Well, Trey, we are down to the final presentation of the night. It's the award for the 2007 Show of the Year.
How fitting is it, Adam, that we're the ones up here, the defending champs, asked to hand over the gold?
Now, Trey, don't go losing your smile, as we all know Shawn Michaels, but Wrestling News Live went out on top, and now it's time for another show to get a year of bragging rights, just like we did for 2 years.
That's right. Congratulations to whoever wins, and thanks again to everybody for listening tonight. Let's get this rolling. I have a date waiting for me at the Bunny Ranch.
And the finalists for the 2007 Show of the Year are...
Between the Ropes.
Wrestling Observer Live.
Rumble Radio.
Wrestling Weekly.
In Your Head.
The Squared Circle.
And Monday Night Mayhem. And, ladies and gentlemen, the winner is...
Show of the Year, Wrestling Weekly.
I am so happy to accept this award. It's really an acknowledgement by the wrestling fans that we're doing a good job here at the show and that you're entertained, and that means the world to me. Thanks to all the people who have helped out or bailed us out of a jam during this calendar year. We really couldn't do it without the support of the peers. Thanks to Andy J, who dutifully does our recaps week after week. Ben Kieran, Brian at AudioWrestling.com, who's always there when I'm ripping my hair out over a problem. Ray Van Til, who goes above and beyond for me. All our Hot Topic correspondents, who appeared in 2007. Brian Alvarez, Bruce Mitchell, Adam Martin, Irish Pete Doyle, Kevin Kelly, James Gutman, Molly Brown. Thanks to Will Benson, who helps out a lot. Brad Dykens, Kevin Keller, for always brainstorming with me. Mark Myshak, Tim Stein, Don Angelo, and all the websites that help us spread the word by printing news about us. All the faithful listeners I see return week after week. And last but not least, a man I'm proud to call my friend and my mentor, Les Thatcher. For without him, there'd be no Wrestling Weekly today, and nobody would have ever heard of me. If I left anyone out, I'm sorry. Don't hate me.
Wow, you forgot, and all the millions at home. You know, it's nice to know that a labor of love is appreciated. It's nice to know that, you know, that the fans, you know, really like what we're doing. And all the people that you mentioned, and of course you, Doc, and for everyone that knows that I pick on Doc constantly, it's only because I love him like a brother or a son or a grandson or something like that. I'm not even sure what. But, you know, it is nice to know, you know, that we've been selected for this award, and I'm so proud, you know, that we've done a job that made us worthy of it.
And we're going to give you a great 2008, I promise. It's party time.
Well, Adam, that is it, my friend. That is the conclusion of the 2008 Wrestling Radio Awards.
I'd like to issue a congratulations to everybody that won tonight and everybody that lost. Maybe good luck next year. Although some of these people, they just, I don't know, some people just don't care if they win these things or not. But I hold these things near and dear to my heart, Trey. We have, a couple of these on the mantle back at the C23 studios, so I'm proud of ours.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the work that we've done in the past and the awards that we've won, as should everybody. And you know what? It's really weird that you work so hard all year, you get geared up for this show, and boom, it's over. Time to start fresh, start over. Hopefully we'll see all of you right back here next year. Thanks for having us. For Adam Martin of WrestleView.com, I am the Trey Dog of Wrestling News Live. Maybe we'll see you down the road. Good night, everybody.
You remember her as WCW Babe Major Guns. But now Tylene Buck wants to show you another side of her.
I'm not shy at telling you what I'm like and what I want. So if you're looking for a good teacher, I'm the girl for you. The more crazy you can get, the more fun I have.
Here is your chance to interact with Tylene and watch her on webcam directly from her own bedroom.
Stacey Keebler is a whiner.
Please join Tylene for her Bates on Demand webcam shows, available free to members of ShowdownNetwork.com and AudioWrestling.com.
This year is going to be a kick-ass year for me, and I hope it's a kick-ass year for all you guys, too. Bye.
Wrestling-Radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Hey, your America, Hulk Hogan here, greatest of all times. Are you guys ready? My main man, Bubba the Love Sponge, is back. Get ready, America.
The hottest morning show in the United States has come home. Don't miss Bubba the Love Sponge, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Showdown Network.
Can you break the code? Can you break the code? Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Oh, Savior, what's so important that you had to come back? What exactly are you saving us from?
They're back!
Welcome back, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher here.
Without Brian Alvarez.
Here on Wrestling Weekly. Yeah, we don't have Brian. We called Brian and we left him.
Well,
let me
say this. Let me blow the whistle here. Brian and Doc communicate via the emails at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So neither, I don't know. Probably one of them's half asleep and the other one needs sleep. And
at least
so,
it was 3 a.m. last night we communicated.
Okay.
If it was like 3 a.m. last week, I can see Brian forgetting.
Oh, okay.
See, but it was, you know. Anyway. I don't know. We'll try to get Brian on again soon. Maybe, you know, something went wrong and the press went haywire on the Figure Four newsletter, because I know that's coming out later tonight. So you never know. Tuesday's not a good day for Brian. It's his most stressful day.
Right, okay, whatever.
So I know that.
Or maybe he heard you say dub-dub and he didn't want to be three men in a tub. I don't know.
That could be possible, too. It very could be possible.
Uh-oh, what?
We've got someone in the room named Brian. I don't know if it's the real Brian, but he's saying his answering machine was off and to call him. Should we take this break and give Brian a second chance?
We might as well. The worst could be is somebody playing a rib on us.
If this is a rib, we are never falling for this again, but we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to get Brian on. Let's do this.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Weekly, guys, on the line. Yes, it was not a rib. That was Brian. Brian Alvarez is with us. He is the he's the host of Wrestling Observer Live and the editor of the Figure Four Daily or the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. Brian, a little bit better late than never, I guess.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Let me say to you two young guys that this is one of the problems with all this technology. His answering machine was turned down. Now. He has so many knobs in his house, doesn't know which one he's turning, and this is the problems that are incurred from that.
And one day the machines will rise up and destroy us all.
Yes.
They will. That's right. I didn't want to hear from anybody today, and then I forgot you guys were calling.
Yeah, it's press day, isn't it?
Yep.
At the Figure 4 newsletter.
I got to finish it up tonight.
So did you see the HD premiere of Raw last night?
Yes, I did. I did. I thought it was awesome.
Really?
I've been waiting my whole life for Raw in HD. We finally got it.
Were Mickie James Freckles, like, right out there? Was it like she was right there?
There were things about Mickey that you folks in Standard didn't get to see, but
wow.
I did.
That's excellent. I got to get an HD TV.
Well, I'm going to have to. That begs me to ask the question, what did we miss?
Yeah. No, never mind. We can't talk about that.
wait a minute. It's not like he's got X-ray vision. He took her clothes off or anything. I mean,
Ryan,
well, maybe certain parts of her clothes were kind of riding down a little bit.
Ryan has a lot of gadgets in his house. You never know. He could have something like that. That's only available on HD. But you never know. Let me get some of these stories about last night. Well, so I guess the performers were all told before the HD airing that they can no longer verbally call their spots in the ring.
Let me stop you right there.
Yes.
And say that there's an art to calling a spot. You know, and I can't obviously, but, you know, most of us who actually spend our lives calling our matches in the ring learn to talk without moving your, you know, not like a ventriloquist, but close.
Right.
And let me tell you this, if they have a match that runs 10, 15 minutes or runs through a couple commercials, somebody's calling it in the ring. Nobody's remembering anything like that. So.
Right.
Well, the thing also with calling spots, I don't know if they were so much concerned about the being able to see people communicating with each other, because it sort of always happened and the announcers just go, well, he's trash talking and this and that. But
right.
I think the thing is, when you've got a show in HD, you're not only getting the video in high def, you're getting the audio in high def as well, which was actually the only downside to the show. They did some backstage skits, and the audio was so good that it sounded bad. Because normally when you do like a television interview or you're making a film, you're going to do a lot of stuff in a sound stage, and you're going to have noise-canceling deals
right.
on the wall or whatever it's going to be. You didn't have that backstage in an arena where you've got these concrete walls or whatever they're made of. And whenever somebody was not talking backstage, there was this loud hiss that was almost unbearable. But that's just what happens in HD when you don't have something to cancel that sound. So I think the thing also with HD is when you're in the ring calling spots, unless you're calling them very, very quietly, you can pick up a lot of that stuff that you wouldn't have been able to pick up in standard.
I think
that was the bigger concern.
Brian, let me ask you a question, because I am not a technical wizard about any of this stuff. You know, when I read that, my thought was, can you turn the audio part of those cameras or wherever the microphones are picking up what's going in the ring back a notch or two so that it's not quite so sharp?
I don't know enough about it. I'm sure you could obviously, you know, you could do something about the sound, but
yeah.
It's just, you know, it's almost like when you're looking at the video, you know, can you turn the picture quality down? Probably not.
No, probably not to a substantial degree. But you know, in terms of calling a match in the ring, again, it's an art too. I've seen guys use the blade. That's another art. You know, to me, if I were getting juice and came to the back and somebody, one of the boys said, I didn't see you get it, then I knew it was good.
Yeah.
You know, and again, there's ways of, you know, of calling spots without, you know, and again, we're on a talk show, so we can't see what this is. But for example, if Brian and Doc, what I'm trying to say here is if Brian and I were wrestling one another, and you're the referee, I can look at you, go through hand and body language as though I'm making some accusation about Brian to you, and actually I'm talking to him but looking at you.
Right.
That's, you know, but I can't yell it out now. That's the main thing, and you shouldn't anyway.
Right.
You know, that's what headlocks are for, and wrist locks, and so forth and so on. But anyway, it's an art, and that means that some of these guys that haven't perfected are going to have to, if the match is going to go past 3 or 4 minutes. So anyway, move on. I'm sorry. I don't want to linger on this.
Another thing that they were told is that they must work stiffer now. When you're in high def and you're not actually hitting somebody,
that drives me crazy too. Because no, I totally disagree. You can work solid. I can put you in a headlock and you'll barely feel it, but it will appear that I am cranking down on it. And again, that's part of the art of this business. I don't think you have to be stiffer, but you have to be snug, solid.
Right.
I think that's more what they were told.
Yeah. It's like more than you're doing now, but, I mean, not stiff. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they just didn't want to see daylight on stuff, which you're going to see in high def, basically.
Right. They're also no longer, and I think this is funny, allowed to have spray tans.
What? Oh,
you know the bad spray tans. It's sort of you get those streaks everywhere. You don't see it so much on regular TV, but in high def, you're going to see streaks all over the body. And I guess they didn't want guys looking like that.
Have you used spray tans, Brian?
Sure.
Okay. And I've never used the stuff because I'm naturally tan. But no, seriously, I didn't know about streaking or running or any of this, but I guess Shawn Michaels and Ken Kennedy were said to be two of the biggest guys that use spray tans.
Well, you don't see it a lot, but every now and then you'll see somebody that shows up with just this horrible fake tan, and they're orange with streaks all over them. And you could notice some of these when you watched the normal Raw. And I think nowadays, even more so, I mean, you have a bad tan, and the world is going to know all about it.
Yeah. You know, when I was in Mississippi a couple weekends ago doing a seminar, and one of the guys, he had worked a show the night before, and it looked relatively natural, and then I noticed when he was getting his gear on for the training that he obviously had sprayed himself with his knee pads on. Right. So I looked, I said, what the hell is that?
That's
he said, it's my, he saw us lying from a spray tan. I said, okay, whatever.
Also,
you know, Dave brought up something in the Observer about this whole thing, Brian, was the fact that some of the ladies might look a little longer at a tooth with high def. So that may shorten some careers, you think?
Well, it is. It's a cosmetic business, and this is the most shallow Raw you've ever seen, as far as looking at everybody's imperfections and such. But it wasn't. You know, I think that most of the women. I don't think there were any real surprises. Maria looked unbelievable. Ashley looked like she was made completely of plastic. Beth Phoenix looked a little older than she probably did in normal. I think she's in her early 30s, so she looked like an early 30s woman, and I mostly noticed things with the guys, like how unbelievably disgusting Triple H's forehead is, and
yeah,
you know, little things like that you sort of noticed before, but once everything is really clear, I mean, it's like that guy's done a lot of gigging and a lot of tanning.
You know, we have HD television, but we haven't subscribed to the service at Time Warner yet, and. But I did notice last night that we were getting these great close-ups from the nose to the forehead. Like, I'm thinking, do I need to see? I mean, I wasn't seeing the wrinkles or the lines or whatever, but obviously you were. And I think maybe that's overdoing a little bit, you think?
I don't know if it was something just to show us stuff or if it's always been like this and I just noticed it on this particular evening.
It's
but,
like it's like when you have a TV show, but then one episode's in 3D, and they do all these neat little tricks, and then they go back to the way it was. And I think next week they're going to go back to the way it was. That's just my hope.
What do you mean the way it was?
They don't have to, keep showing all the features of high def. And,
I think they've largely done that for a long time, though. We've always got those weird, long, lingering shots on people.
Yeah. I don't know. In other high-def news, there's stories going out. Lots of customers are upset. Some of the largest cable TV providers in the country still do not carry high-def USA Network. Dish Network, Time Warner Cable, Cablevision, and Sky Sports in the UK are subscribers who are left out of the HD fun.
Well, they can't blame WWE for that one. They'll just have to.
No,
I don't get sci-fi in HD, so I don't get to see the bikini contest tonight, and I'm, I'm disappointed about that.
Well, that would have been awesome. I've never seen a high def. Like, I'm poor. Okay. Okay, I'm not poor, but I'm not. I can't run out and go buy a
high
definition
TV. Send your donations
TV.
To Doc Young at.
Yeah.
Never mind. Go ahead.
If somebody wants to get rid of their old high def, I'll give you my mailing address. But no, I've never seen this, so I don't know exactly what it is, what it looks like or what it sounds like or anything like that. So I don't know. But we do have I'm trying to remember the name of the satellite company, DirecTV.
Yeah.
DirecTV, and they do carry USA Network and high def. I don't know about sci-fi. I'll have to check.
You know,
while
we're talking about RAW, and this is not high def, but I want to get Brian's opinion on something. I had mentioned earlier, Brian, and you being a wrestler yourself, you probably watch things that other people don't, like I do. And
get yelled at for it?
Huh?
And get yelled at for it?
yeah, exactly. But two things. I tend to watch what goes on behind the featured happenings in the ring simply to see if they're getting a reaction or not. And two things that jumped off the screen at me last night, not in high def, were the fact that Jericho didn't get a great reaction from his promo, and after Triple H had beaten everybody in the building and would stand in the ring posing, the people behind him were like, okay, whatever. So
yeah, I watched the Triple H thing in particular, and I just thought, who cares about this man in 2008?
Wow.
You know, I guess a lot of people do, but you know, I've been watching him do this now for 10 years, and I don't really need to watch it for 10 more. Great, he's going to get the title again. Yeehaw! I've only seen that 12 times now,
right.
So that one it just doesn't do anything for me anymore. It's nothing has changed about his character. There's nothing fresh about it. It's just like, well, he hasn't had the belt for 2 years or 3 years, so time to have it again.
Right.
And it seems to me like the wrestling world should evolve, and it's not. I was disappointed with the Jericho reaction because I actually thought it was a really good promo.
I thought it
significantly better than that horrible angle with the bull rope. And I thought JBL's promo last week, it bored me, actually. So I thought this one was really good, and it was really sad when he finally got to the line where he goes, I'm not going to go out and put on a good show. I'm not going to go out there and have a good match. It's going to be a fight. And as soon as he said fight, it was silence. And I thought, well, that sucks right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can you do? I thought it was a good promo, though.
You know, I think sometimes that some of these promos, and of course, none of us have that type of foresight, actually need to be pre-taped and done not in front of an audience, and in terms of the people buying the pay-per-views or the people at home's reaction, that you may get a stronger reaction from them if it's not done. Because I think some fans have to notice that the lack of reaction as well. Don't
you mean pre-taped and then shown on the Tron to the fans?
And showing to us at home with that, Not in other words, not an empty ring, and we're seeing it on the Tron, right?
Okay.
I don't know. See, I have this crazy idea that television is for the people at home. The audience is window dressing at the building, and I know we try to please everybody, but I don't think everything has to be for the people at the building.
Right.
Well, it doesn't, but at the same time, when you're watching on TV and you see somebody come out and get a monstrous reaction,
right,
as a fan, you automatically think, well, wow, that guy's very popular. That guy's a star.
Right.
And when
right.
you see a guy come out and you know, he gets no reaction whatsoever, you just sort of think, wow, well, he's nothing special there.
Sure, but I'm thinking that it, as serious as that promo was, it wasn't necessarily something that you were looking, you know, necessarily wanted. You were looking for a reaction from the people around him.
Sure, it was sort of an intimate promo.
More a guy, you know, an announcer that or an interviewer that actually knows what they're doing, walks into the locker room and says, "Chris, you know, could I get your feelings on what happened last week and JBL's comments?"
Yeah,
and go from there, you know.
Yeah, it was not. The way he delivered it was not delivered for the entire audience, so I guess from that perspective I could see why they didn't really react to it. It was more, you know, these are my thoughts, and it's being captured very close up for everybody listening at home, and hopefully in the end it sells some buys.
Yeah. And of course I'm looking at that too as a producer or someone that is, you know, put together interviews and just seeing it from that perspective too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't expect everybody to agree with me. But while we're talking about different production things, I mentioned earlier if every TNA show were like Global Impact, I would watch it and I probably wouldn't touch the fast forward button.
I completely agree. I'm baffled that two companies or two different TV shows by the same company could be so completely different in every conceivable way. I love Global Impact. I hated Impact passionately, except for the main event.
You.
The main event was good. But the rest of the show I just hated. And, yeah, it's just sort of amazing. And I don't think that they understand how good it was or why it was good. And I don't think we'll be seeing a whole lot of that in the future, really.
Right.
No, it's a shame, too, because the little segments of everybody preparing for their matches and the whole traveling around and, you know, I mean, it was a great build, and the Nagata angle match was solid, man. It was a hell of a match.
Well, let me tell everybody else something about this whole deal. When you watch Kurt Angle on Impact, he is such a geek. He's
right.
Such a geek, and there's a reason nobody buys the pay-per-views, because, you know, they'll watch all the stuff for free on TV and everything like that, but nobody cares enough about Kurt Angle as the champion to pay $30 to watch him have a match. Whereas when you watch that Global Impact, he comes off as a superstar, just a superstar. And everybody should set their DVRs for tomorrow night after the UFC Fight Night show. There's Pros versus Joes with Kurt Angle. It's both Wednesday and Thursday. Angle's going to be on the show, and he's just going to be slaughtering geeks with his amateur wrestling. And I guarantee you're going to watch that show, and you're just going to be like, wow, Kurt Angle is awesome. And how many times do you ever watch Impact and think to yourself, wow, Kurt Angle is awesome? Never. You always think, wow, what a geek.
Right.
I'll tell you who impresses me all the time. I got to know him at the last WWE trial camp we ran here.
Tomko.
Yes, thank you. Yes, he comes across as real. When he talks to you, he's real. What he's saying is real. What he's doing is real. I thought, Jesus, you know, here's a guy that with the proper storylines, I mean, you know, he's obviously not Benoit, Angle, or Guerrero when it comes to between the ropes, but put with the right baby, you know, heels or baby face, hell, you can never, it's like there's so many guys that come here swinging for both sides of the plate, right? I mean, it just depends what week it is, but, I mean, here's a guy that legitimately can do serious promos and with the proper people to work with and the proper storylines could really, I think, do some business for these people.
Tomko, when he was in WWE, was just nothing. And when he first came to TNA, he was nothing. And I thought, well, why did you guys hire Tomko? I realize he's an ex-WWE guy, but who cares? He never did anything there. And boy, is he... I just watched the show now, and I think, okay, of all of the big names you've got, Kurt Angle, Booker T, Christian, Samoa Joe, Scott Steiner, the list goes on and on and on. They're all at the same level. They're all basically mid-carders, with the exception of two people in the entire company. One of them now is Tomko, who has managed to set himself apart from everybody else in the company, and Awesome Kong. Those are the only two people in this entire company that you can look at and you're like, boy, those two are at a level above everybody else in this whole place, including Kurt Angle and Christian and Joe and everybody else. And it's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Wrapping up the hot topic and the high def stuff, Brian Swax in the chat room says that if you go ahead and get HD Sci-Fi tomorrow night, or tonight, excuse me, for ECW, you should probably be able to see all the Divas' breast implant incisions.
I suspect you will be able to see a lot of disgusting things.
Now that's high def, baby.
That's right.
Guys, check out Brian Alvarez at the Figure 4 newsletter. It's at figure4online.com, and you can sign up. There's a ton of shows, newsletter every week.
And don't forget to listen to them on Sunday nights, too, on the Observer Live.
Wrestling Observer Live
on Sunday nights, that's right.
He's got a whole bunch of stuff. Check it out, though, figure4online.com, Wrestling Observer Live. Brian, we'll see you again in a few weeks, my friend. I appreciate you coming on.
That sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Brian, take care, buddy. Always a pleasure.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Les, we got some more news to get to, my friend. And don't forget, guys, Jimmy Jacobs coming up a little bit later. He's our featured guest tonight. Ron Killings is on his way to WWE, according to reports, man.
He is.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer of the Observer reports that Killing has not finalized his contract with the company yet because he's got to pass a physical, do chug test, all that stuff. But barring any unforeseen circumstances, anything like that, Killings will work in WWE under the name Quick Ron Killings, Quick with a K, just like the old days. At least it's not K Quick this time.
Okay, whatever you say.
Reports,
listen, yeah. I want to mention that show that's on the Learning Channel is two episodes, I think. Is it two episodes of tonight? Two half-hour episodes. The Bussy Bunch, or whatever.
I think it's Bussy.
Yeah, Bussy Bunch. It's on the Learning Channel. It's about a family that runs a independent wrestling promotion.
A huge independent wrestling promotion.
I don't guess it's so much about, I guess it is about wrestling, but it's not so much about the wrestling as it is about the family.
Yeah.
You know, that promotes and everything, so.
And I guess the family, they all work for the company
within the business,
at some point,
yeah.
Yes.
The I guess sisters, wives, daughters, mothers, whatever.
So it's interesting, to think about, and I'm gonna check that out. They run that PCW down in Texas, is the name. I believe it's just Professional Championship Wrestling. I might be wrong, but it's PCW, and they do have a reputation as one of the premier indie companies in the country.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm DVR'ing it and intend to watch it, you know, and check it out and see what it's all about.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Cool.
Moving on, Jim Ross has come to an agreement with WWE, has signed on for two more years.
You know what? I love Jim to death, and as he's a personal friend, as you know, and I loved working with him the short time that we had together in Smoky. I don't know who else they're going to – they've got to find somebody if he decides to step down, there's going to be a hell of a vacancy there.
Oh, yeah.
And a hell of a big set of shoes to fill. And I say that not because he's my friend, just because of all the commentators I've ever worked with, and that's a bunch. And there's been some good ones by the name of Lance Russell and Bob Caudle and Ed Caprell and Charlie Platt. Solely and Ross, obviously the two best in my almost 48 years that I've ever worked with. He is in a position now. He is one of the few guys today that can take some of this fantasy crap and make it halfway believable and make you halfway actually, you know, think it's important.
Yeah.
And without killing his own credibility,
without overselling,
totally, huh?
Without overselling it either.
Well, yeah. And you know, and I know it's, when I say it's a tough job, I know it is, you know, and Jim is, I won't say he can be replaced, but they're going to play hell doing it. That's for sure.
Yeah. What do you think about, like, Don Callis?
What do I think about who?
Don Callis.
What do I think about him?
Yeah, as an announcer.
I don't think about him.
You don't think about Don Callis?
No, why? I mean, until you just mentioned it, I hadn't thought about him since he was 20.
I thought he did some good commentary over there.
Over where?
In the day. In
where?
ECW.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not into heel commentators.
No?
No, I'm not. I think there's one of the typecasting things that, with Ventura and with Bobby Heenan everybody thinks there has to be a bad guy or somebody, you know, I don't.
Yeah,
I
it is mean, sort of typecast.
Huh? Huh?
It is sort of typecast.
Yeah, and every indie has one.
Yeah.
There's Bobby Heenan number 47, 48, 49, 4006, on and on and on. And and there's only one Bobby Heenan. He told us that when he was on our show, if you remember, right? We talked about
it. It's almost like the evil owner.
Which has been beat to death and overdone, and it's just, you know, it's useless, honestly. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Ross is, I don't know, Jim hits the middle ground. I mean, you know, he entertains you, but he informs you. He can turn chicken crap into chicken salad occasionally, and that's part of your job too.
He's the last, I think, of the broadcasters with a legacy that's still active.
You know, one of the things that we had to do on the fly years ago too that people won't understand today is that, for example, if you were a heel and the babyface making his comeback and he barely touches you with a drop kick and you hit the deck. I see that on my monitor at the desk, then I've got to cover that with something. And you know, Doc Young trying to get out of the way, Joe Blow just barely touched him with a drop kick, but Doc in his attempt to try to get out lost his balance and hit the deck.
Right.
Right? But I couldn't know that was going to happen to begin with, so you've got to be able to, you know, you've got to be able to try to turn something into some common sense on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. And with heel commentators, it's too much about me.
Right.
You know, and again, Heenan coming from who he was in WWE directly to the desk, obviously that was his, you know, that was who he was.
Because he was an evil man.
Yeah, and Ventura the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
But that, you know, Joe Blow, who's never taken a bump in his life, thinks he has to be who cares if he's a heel commentator? Nobody. You know, because they don't know who he is to begin with.
Right.
You know, but in the indies, well, I'll play Bobby Heenan. No, you won't. you'll do a very bad job of trying it, but there's only one. And God love him. And speaking of Bobby, I haven't heard any reports on his surgery, and I hope he's doing well. I do, too. He's just a great guy. He's in my prayers, believe me, when I say that. Bobby and I go all the way back to when he was carrying jackets in Indianapolis, for Christ's sake, before he ever took his first bumper, managed his first wrestler. I knew
Bobby.
Wow,
yeah.
You know, so. But anyway, yeah, Ross is going to be a tough guy to replace.
What do you think if they turned Jerry Lawler serious and
no.
had him take?
No, I don't think. See, Lawler's been that horny old man who's never gotten laid for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a young girl's breast. Oh my God, I'm wetting myself. No, I that shtick's old too. And when I say that, Jerry the performer was a hell of a worker and drew a lot of money and did a lot of good things. I just, you know, and that's the thing. See, there's the thing too with Ross. Ross has no shtick.
Right.
Ross has nothing to grow old. You know, or to say, well, you know, what he does is timeless. He is a play-by-play commentator.
Right.
So there's nothing for him to you know, there's nothing there you can say, well, that's getting old, you know.
And there was a lot of, but he didn't really want to wear the hat or be called JR at first.
He didn't want to be who?
He didn't want to wear the cowboy hat. He didn't want to be called JR when they first brought it up to him because he thought that was a shtick.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, when we first worked in Smokey, I said, do you mind if I call you JR? And he said, no. I mean, I asked, but, you know, because
right.
I, again. But anyway, yeah, he's one of a kind. Well, two of a kind, I guess, if you put him and Soli right out there. But
we get two more years of the man, so that's great.
Well, And you know what? He's obviously in a good position where if he wanted to walk away, he could.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm happy for him to be in that position, or, you know, because that's...
it's an enviable position.
Yes, it is. And there's few and far between in that position, honestly, today.
Yeah.
So,
guy guys, there is said to be some hope within WWE about having John Cena return to the company in time for WrestleMania 24 to have a role on the show. While many don't expect him to wrestle at the event, the creative team is hoping to include him in the plans in some type of role. So if you're looking for WrestleMania 24 tickets and you love John Cena, hopefully you'll get to see him on that show.
I guess they've sold, what, 55,000 or something already?
Something like that.
Yeah,
that's a
I
lot.
You know, I just, to me, the whole thing there, man, is about rain. You know, I mean, when I say that, and I hope it doesn't happen, but I just, man, that could, and no pun intended, that could put quite a damper on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, and of course, they can cover the participants, but you can't cover the people.
Right.
You know, I mean, like with a band concert outdoors, you can always put a tent top over the performers to keep the electrical equipment from shorting,
right,
and killing anybody. But you can't put it over 60,000 or 70,000 people for crazy.
I think they feel that, you know, as long as they sell the tickets, they know it's WrestleMania. They know people are going to show up whether it's raining or not. They know that you know, these tickets are going to be sold far in advance. It was kind of like the Super Bowl. I think it was last year. Didn't it rain all day on everybody at the Super Bowl?
You know what? I don't remember.
I think it was last year.
But you know, the thing with the I don't know. It's a whole different thing. You know, and when I say that, it is. It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
But again, no pun intended. no, but it is. I mean, you know, like watching the playoffs. When the Packers beat the Seahawks a couple weeks ago in that snowstorm in Green Bay, you know,
yeah,
it was fascinating because it was football,
right?
But you know, or you saw that hockey game in Buffalo with, you know, 70,000 people out. Okay, that's stuff you do in weather, you know, you expect it. You know, you don't play baseball in weather, right? They stop a game.
Yeah.
Even though that's outdoors in a lot of places, and you know, years ago it was always outdoors before the Riverdale Dome stadiums. So it's just, you know, but I just I don't know.
Maybe they're trying to change that for wrestling, and I don't think they would do it for anything else but WrestleMania, have it at an outdoor arena.
I would hope not. And with promotions that I've worked with and been involved in, you know, putting towns together and things like that, to me, the only way I ever ran anything outdoors was to have a backup building within spitting distance in case of weather, you know.
Right.
But you can, obviously with something the scope of WrestleMania, you can't do that.
Absolutely, that's true. So we're going to have to see, but it's going to be an interesting story when it comes along. Kenny Dykstra is currently out of action for the time being, guys, with some sort of knee injury. It remains to be seen how severe the injury is at this time. We're going to, of course, reported to you on the site when we find out exactly what the extent is, how long he'll be out and stuff. But, boy, he's had a lot of trouble at such a young age. He was brought up real early, in my opinion. And now he's got, you know, he was broken up the Spirit Squad, sent to ECW. Now he's injured. It's like not good times for Kenny.
Well, the whole Spirit Squad thing, you stop thinking of those guys. He's the only one that's been brought back to do anything,
right,
of note. And then that would just was short-circuited. Well, you know, here again, as a Spirit Squad, that whole group, was entertaining, okay?
Uh-huh.
But then when you saw two guys beating five week after week, then that became, okay, whatever.
Right. I don't think it was meant to have legs.
Yeah, and then when you separate these guys, then maybe somebody realizes, well, maybe they needed some more seasoning or some more experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and which is not, you know, is not a knock. It's just this, you know, I it's been said before. In this business, you're a rookie probably 4 to 6 years in.
Yeah.
You know, to actually, you know, and that's with working with some sort of consistency.
Right.
So, you know, it's, again, it's not a knock.
It's just the way it is.
It is.
Guys, Kevin Thorne has been down in WWE Developmental working on a possible change to his gimmick. He did change up his look recently, but he hasn't been used on ECW as of late. But he's down retooling his gimmick, and he may come back, they're reporting, as a possible babyface. A babyface vampire. I don't know if he's still going to do the vampire gimmick, but I think that's interesting
to know.
Well,
see, apparently the storyline is he went someplace, had surgery, and had his vampire veins surgically removed and his teeth changed.
Wow.
I don't know. No, my problem with silly gimmicks is that how do you
get out of
it? You can change Shawn Michaels or Steve Austin or Mick Foley or just somebody with a first and last name from a babyface to a heel or from a heel to a babyface.
Right.
With storylines that have some logic. But it's hard to take a vampire and turn him into an angel or
Right. It's like, how are you going to make Eugene a heel?
Yeah, exactly. Or how can we make God-loving Nick Densmore into just a good, solid worker, which he is.
Right.
Shaving the head was
a good start. But
because the gimmick kills that.
Right.
You know?
So you get stuck in those things. According to a press release by Fulmar Productions, former WCW and WWE star Ernest the Cat Miller has been cast opposite Mickey Rourke in that movie that we've been speaking about on the show, The Wrestler.
I hope he's a better actor than he is a worker. I don't know Ernest Miller. I'm not mad at Ernest Miller, but Ernest Miller was a horrible worker, period, end of story. He did a good James Brown impersonation. He did, and I enjoyed that, and I could see him as a manager, but as a wrestler, he was a hell of a plumber.
Wow. It's hard to remember, the technical abilities of Ernest Miller. It's been so long.
He didn't have any, so it's not hard to remember him at all. No, I mean, he didn't, man. I mean, I'm looking at it as a rest. And you know what? I may be an old jackass, and I may not make everybody happy with my candid comments, but I know how to work, and I know one when I see one.
Right.
And he wasn't one, ever.
Wow. All right. Mick Foley has a page on MySpace now. It's at mickfoley.com/officialmickfoley.
Well, good for Mick.
Yeah. And don't get crazy and start sending Mick love letters and things like that because, some of these guys, they have official MySpace pages and stuff, but they don't actually ever look at it. They have someone do it for them.
My granddaughter sent me a thing to join, Avatar? Where you dress your, you have a 3D character and you stand and chat with each other and stuff, and I went to it and looked at it and dressed a character, and I thought, are you ribbing?
How old's your granddaughter?
If I were 20 years old or something, that would,
How old's your granddaughter?
She's 14.
Oh, okay. Oh, I understand
so
it then.
And I said, okay, if you want to talk, I'll email with you, but let's don't do it this way. Or better still, call Grandpa. It's cool.
Right. In TNA news, Kurt Angle is going to stand trial on drunk driving charges. Last October, a woman said Angle nearly ran her over in his car after leaving a bar in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. Police say they went to his home and gave him a sobriety test, which he failed. Took him to the hospital where he refused a blood test. Angle's charged with DUI and careless driving. We're going to have more details on when the trial will start. I don't see why he's going to trial on this. That's a huge gamble.
Well, I don't, maybe he has no choice. Did you ever think of that? Maybe nobody asked him to plead out for anything.
Well, I guess not. They usually let everybody do that unless they're trying to make an example out of them.
Yeah, I don't know. TNA supposed to start drug testing at the end of this month?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Beginning of next month or something?
It's supposed to be the end of this month, I believe.
Okay.
PW Insider is reporting that TNA announced to its live crowd at the Impact tapings last night in Orlando that the company would be taping a barbed wire massacre match at the TV taping tonight. The match will be between Abyss and Judas Messiah and shown on the Against All Odds pay-per-view. Based on what's known...
You mean we're going to have 10 trillion thumbtacks instead of 10 million or 10,000 and, gosh, But see, what does this mean, actually?
I don't know.
How many times have you seen barbed wire matches in that company in recent months?
I don't know exactly.
That's right, because there's been a bunch.
I've seen a lot of thumbtack matches.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, again, it dilutes the, you know, the fact that you're going to do one. It just dilutes it.
All right. The reason for this, the reason they're taping this tonight and showing it on the pay-per-view is that the Athletic Commission in South Carolina took back its original blessing to have the match held at the Bylow Center in Greenville. There was talk within TNA of holding the match at another location by satellite, but they decided to scrap that whole thing, and they're just going to film it tonight in Orlando, and you're going to see it against all odds pay-per-view, which I think that's a first, I think.
Chris Parks has learned to be a good worker. Abyss has learned to be a good worker, and I wish, you know, I just think they've, you know, because he wears the leather mask and stuff, that they think he's got to be... hardcore, and I just don't see that.
Right. And I don't mean to correct you, but it's actually Chris Park.
That's what I said.
You said Parks.
Huh?
You said Parks.
Parks.
It's Park.
That's what I said.
You said Parks.
I said Parks, P-A-R-K.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's there's no S.
Okay, well, whatever.
I don't know why, but that a lot of people think it's Parks, but it's actually Park.
Okay.
The Wrestling Observer is reporting that TNA Wrestling has made a business deal with UFC in regards to promotion for the UFC 81 pay-per-view on February 2nd. That's going to feature Brock Lesnar's UFC debut in a fight against Frank Mir. Now, although the details are sketchy right now, some heavy advertising for UFC is expected to take place during TNA shows over the course of the next 2 weeks. For example, Thursday on Impact, it's going to feature footage of Brock Lesnar training for his fight, while Kurt Angle is going to comment on Lesnar's transition into MMA, and also break down the fight between Lesnar and Mir. This is a new, well, it's not new, but it's kind of an odd thing that TNA would be pushing something that basically they're in competition with, I think.
I don't know that they're in competition.
For pay-per-view
again,
buys.
In this day and age, people realize there's a difference in the two. They're both on the same network, so it's kind of a cross promotion there. I think.
Right.
Maybe they're hoping that some of the MMA fans will tune in for the quick little thing that Angle's going to do. I don't know. You know.
Hopefully. Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik. He's got a new DVD coming out from kayfabecommentaries.com. It's called Rebuilding the Sheik. Now, this is weird. I got this...
Rebuilding the Sheik?
Rebuilding the Sheik. I got this press release from Kayfabe Commentaries, and it goes like this. The newly reinvented Iron Sheik and his real-life manager come clean about their Frankenstein act in Kayfabe Commentaries' new DVD, Rebuilding the Sheik, which goes on sale today. For the past few years, the Iron Sheik and his manager, Eric Sims, have been riding a wave of recaptured popularity. The internet is loaded with hit-heavy clips of the former champion cutting impromptu promos, assaulting his manager, arguing with drug dealers on his cell phone, etc. These exploits have yielded tons of public appearances, visits to the Howard Stern Show, and a spot on the Killers of Comedy tour. But at what price? Rebuilding the Sheik seeks to get under the hood and explore just how many of the alleged quote-unquote shoots were manufactured by Sheik and Sims. Topics covered on the DVD include Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior and his disdain for Sheik, Howard Stern, Bubba the Love Sponge, Sheik's alleged drug addiction, the day-to-day wrangling of the Iron Sheik, Sheik versus the character of Iron Sheik, his return to WWE, much more. You can get it at kayfabecommentaries.com. This is a big deal, considering that Sheik has rode this way for the last, I think, year and a half, 2 years. Got a lot
I don't
of public
know.
Appearances out of this.
Cosgrove's been off on a run for I don't know how long.
Yeah. And supposedly he's going to, you know, come clean in this DVD. Was it a work? Was, you know, what was real? What was not? That's kind of like career suicide, isn't it?
It's like what?
Career suicide when you got a good thing going.
I don't know. You know what? I've been kind of told I'm goofy and crazy at times, and I can't hold a candle to Cosro. I'll be quite honest with you. I don't know. You know, Lord knows in this day and age what it might mean. It's beyond me. I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check this out. KayfabeCommentaries.com. We do get some DVDs, man. We should talk about this on the show because I'm interested to know. And when it was going on and things like
that.
If
you get Cosro on, you won't need me.
I saw Sheep.
You can just crank him up and turn him loose, and he'll run you through four commercials.
You won't need me if we got the Iron Sheik on the show. We'll just put him on and go watch TV or something, come back, and he'll be still talking. No, I'm kidding. But no, this is an interesting story. And when he was doing all these things last year, I was wondering, you know, because I saw him on the Howard Stern show, and I saw him arguing with the Iron Sheik Jr. and, you know, things like that.
Iron Sheik Jr.?
Anyway, he's done some silly things, is all I have to say.
You know what? I've read some of these things, and I honestly haven't watched any of the tapes or the YouTubes or whatever.
Yeah.
It just, I know Cosro. I traveled with Cosro when I ran the tours for WCW back in the early 80s up in Ohio, West Virginia, and Michigan. He rode with me some. He was sane.
Yeah.
You know, Steamboat and I did a weekend training camp up in Jersey a couple years ago, and we on Sunday we did it where Jersey All Pro ran, and Kaz came in and he went off on a rant for a while, but not at us, but you know at the trainees.
Right.
And we finally were able to turn him off and get back to what we were doing. But I don't know. I just, I have some, when I say feelings, for the people in my business, you know,
right.
I don't like to see them make, I guess I make a fool of myself occasionally, but I mean, not to that degree, I don't think. And if it were a shoot, I felt really bad. And now if you're telling me it wasn't, then, hell, he's a hell of a performer, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting, and I can't wait to check that out. Goes on sale today, guys, kayfabecommentaries.com. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, we've got our featured guest from Ring of Honor, Jimmy Jacobs, is going to be with us. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher in just a couple. We'll be right back.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to Wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle,
The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
You remember her as WCW Babe Major Guns. But now Tylene Bug wants to show you another side of her.
I'm not shy on telling you what I'm like and what I want. So if you're looking for a good teacher, I'm the girl for you. The more crazy you can get, the more fun I have.
Here is your chance to interact with Tylene and watch her on webcam directly from her own bedroom.
Stacy Keebler is a whiner.
Please join Tylene for her Bates On Demand webcam shows, available free to members of ShowdownNetwork.com and AudioWrestling.com.
This year is going to be a kick-ass year for me, and I hope it's a kick-ass year for all you guys, too. Bye.
Hey, you America! Hulk Hogan here, greatest of all times. Are you guys ready? My main man, Bubba the Love Sponge, is back. Get ready, America!
The hottest morning show in the United States has come home. Don't miss Bubba the Love Sponge, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Showdown Network.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin Draven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
With you on Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, he is one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions with us on the show, I believe for the third time, is Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy, I want to thank you for being on the show, man.
What's up, guys?
So what,
Jimmy, when did you guys win the ROH Tag Titles?
It was in New York City on December 30th, maybe?
I think it was 28.
28, 29, 30, I don't know, something. It was at the end of December.
Okay, cool. Good. And so, then you guys are in Dayton? Friday night.
Yep.
And who are you guys working with?
Well, Tyler Black is wrestling Brian Danielson, and I am teaming with a mystery new member to the Age of the Fall against Roderick Strong and Rocky Romero, I believe.
All right.
Any hints on who the mystery person might be? Is it a woman
or
a man?
We already said, I forget what hints we gave away. He's held a title in another company, and our fans would know him from national television.
Ah, okay, so that's going to be a big surprise. Jimmy, you missed a little bit of the year earlier in the spring with an injury. Tell us about that. What went down with that?
I had torn my ACL, and it was about time to get it fixed. So I had surgery on it, completely tore my ACL on my left knee and part of my meniscus, and got that taken care of, took 3.5-4 months off, and came back.
What did you do during your time off?
I was still working, but just not wrestling. I did a lot of managing and color commentary, and I was a commissioner here or there, just whatever I could to pick up some work, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever give any thought to just, you know, sitting at home and nursing the injury until you get back and then coming back to the ring?
No. No, I would go nuts if I was home for any length of time. I think I only ended up missing like 2 or 3 weeks when I was injured. I still managed to keep busy doing something every weekend.
Excellent. Yeah, I believe I seen you a couple times hobbling around. You had a cane for a while, right?
Yep.
It was during that injury that you were doing the, you did some YouTube, I guess, promos with Lacey. How did that come about?
We needed to further the storyline along, and since I couldn't wrestle, I think that was the way to do it. So we did a series of date videos with Lacey and myself that are available on YouTube, the Jimmy Loves Lacey dates. I was pretty proud of how they came out, how they turned out. We spent a couple days in Chicago filming all that.
Whose idea was that?
You know, it's a lot of what I've done in the past, you know, year or two has been, you know, my ideas. Some of it has been other people's ideas. But, I mean, that was you know, normally the way we work is a kind of one person will give the, you know, the bones, the idea, and, you know, somebody else will expand on it. And so that's kind of how that went.
I can't remember where it was, but somebody had said that it was supposed to be based in Minneapolis, these dates. But it was actually in Chicago.
No, it was Chicago. Yeah, we talk about Chicago. We talk about the Sears Tower in one of the videos,
right,
and everything.
Yeah. And I saw, this is just for me, by the way, but I saw a place that looked strangely familiar. Did you film any of that in Portage at all?
Yes, in the bowling alley.
In the bowling alley, yes.
Yeah, where the Fight Sports Midwest ran, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah. So I thought that was a really cool series of promos, and it furthered the storyline along. And once it was all over, your roles were kind of reversed.
Right, that was kind of the idea, to start to do the role reversal and lead into what became Days of the Fall.
When you got injured in the first place, what match was that in? Or was it just something that built up?
I think it was a couple things. Storyline wise, you know, of course you said it was the cage match with me and BJ, but it had been torn since August of 2006.
Wow.
In a match with Homicide.
Wow. That's
Are you in is there anything in the future for you and BJ again, or is that over and done with?
I think there'll always be heat there. I don't think we'll ever get along. I don't think we're ever going to be, you know, on the same side of things. I wouldn't be surprised if someday we go back to it. But as of right now, you know, yeah, I mean, we had a blow off in March last year, and you know, we haven't touched each other since.
Right. Okay.
It seemed like right before your injury that you had been teaming with Tyler Black since Wrestling Society X, but it seemed like you kind of fell off of that right before the injury. But when when you came back from injury, it was with Tyler Black, but in a different sort of tag team than you guys played on Wrestling Society X on MTV. The Age of the Fall, how did that come about?
Well, I think that was the next progression, just the Jimmy Jacobs character. I don't know, a lot of people had different ideas of, you know, where it was going to go as far as, you know, the whole soap opera stories, me and Lacey, you know, what are we going to do? I don't think anybody saw it going the way it did, basically, where we really went in this whole other crazy direction. And so when the idea of the Age of the Fall came about, Tyler Black was definitely somebody that, like, I wanted in the group, and I wanted by my side.
Gabe seems like the kind of guy that you can, you know, pitch an idea to, just take him aside and say, you know, I got this idea, and I want to tag with this guy, and it seems like he listens to these.
That's not something I'd like to talk about, honestly, as far as, you know, the curtain might have been pulled down and everything, but that's not the side of the business I'd like to talk about. The fact is, you know, it was my idea to bring Tyler Black in, and it was my doing, and Necro Butcher, for that matter. I mean, these were guys that I wanted next to me, and I wanted them in my group, and so creatively speaking, yes, I got that.
Now, when you guys came up and you formed this tag team, you guys had a controversial angle coming in. So controversial, it was taken off the pay-per-view.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, when we hung Jay Briscoe. There was a few reasons for that, but I definitely see why they wouldn't have wanted to put that on the pay-per-view. So
they ended up putting that on the DVD, is that correct?
Yeah, there's definitely a good edited version of it. Now, the YouTube one used a lot of hard camera shots, and the one on the DVD uses some good floor camera shots. You can really see, get a good idea of how much Jay was actually bleeding, because people who saw it live really got the full effect. I mean, Jay was, it was a faucet of blood. I mean, but when he was on the ground and we were dragging him, tying him up, there was already a puddle forming on the mat.
Oh.
So he was bleeding a lot. There was a steady stream of blood, like, just pouring out of his head. So
that's nasty. but you can't, yeah. So you can catch that on the DVD, and I think it's called Man Up, right?
Yeah, so Man Up DVD just came out. So.
So you've got The Age of the Fall coming out now, and you've got. Do you still have Lacey with you?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And Lacey's with you. Who is who's Alice in Wonderland? What's the story about?
Alice in Wonderland was a girl we found who believed in our ideals and believed what we were doing and wanted to come aboard. So I believe she'll be there this weekend with us. She's a Midwest girl, though.
So. But she's not the big surprise.
No, she's not.
Okay, excellent. We got some questions from the live chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com and also the forums. Overdrive on the forums asks, is your brother Nick still in the business?
No.
Another question from the forums. It says, you were involved in the Eddie Guerrero versus Mysterio feud on SmackDown, basically being used as a Mysterio lookalike. Do you have any other WWE work aside from that?
I've done, like, extra work for them, which means basically you get paid to do nothing. I think I was a security guard one time on Raw with a Batista Triple H contract signing or something. And then I worked with Nunzio one time on Velocity.
I think I remember the security guard angle.
I've never seen it. I don't know. So
you never watched it?
I never did see that, no.
Do you watch, like, your matches when you're done with them? Like,
Yeah. You know, I try to keep up on all my stuff. But, no, that's something that, oddly, I've never seen.
Okay. Somebody in the chat room, Cheap One, he said, what do you think of Lacey's promo on Sunny?
I thought it was awesome. I was really pumped. I was watching on the monitor in the locker room, and when she came back, I thought it was really good, and I saw it online when it was released on the video wire. Yeah, I thought she totally tore into Sunny and came out looking great.
Excellent.
Are you going to be working Japan for Noah at all, Jim?
No, I don't think Noah could. I don't know. No, the answer is no. The answer is no, and we'll probably forever be no.
Is it the plane, or are you like Mr. T on the A-team? You you don't want
to? No, I'd love to go, but, you know, Noah has been, we've had a working relationship with Noah for the, you know, the better part of 2 years. And so they've seen me, they see what I do, they see what I have to offer. You know, clearly they're not interested.
I've got a question for you, Jimmy. What does Jimmy Jacobs do when he's not wrestling? In his off time? Just some of your hobbies or things like that.
I am sitting in my underwear watching TV.
I didn't mean right now.
I mean, that's all. Literally, like, my day today was I woke up at 2 o'clock, I ate, I went to the gym, I came back home, I ate, I went tanning, and I watched The Simpsons, Family Guy. now I'm here, you know, like that's it.
See, Les, and you wonder why me and Jimmy are so much alike.
Yeah, okay, you guys sleep, you have the same sleep patterns, I can tell.
Yeah.
And Jim, I've
always been a night owl.
Let me turn you into a critic, or at least a reviewer here for a moment. You're watching the Busey Bunch, on the Learning Channel. I'm DVR'd it, but give us a little insight. It's more about
you know what? I'm not even paying attention to it, honestly. Like, it was on my TV and it was on mute. I don't know. My roommate was watching it. I don't think he was too impressed. So
I'll have to catch a replay on that. Did they show at least you know, a few good scenes in arenas? Is it more about wrestling, or does it seem to be more about their life at home?
It seemed to be a lot of their life at home and just how they deal with the wrestling business. The first episode, I think they had, like, a little bit of wrestling at the end. I don't know. The second episode looks like they had a little more. I don't know. I'm not really watching it too heavily.
MOAV in the chat room, he asks, how do you feel about the heat you got at the TPI this year? Is it because of the AWA stuff, do you feel, or is it something else?
I'm not even sure exactly what he's referring to. I'm assuming he's referring to the fact that the fans at IWA Mid-South don't really care for me, and I'm guessing there's a lot of fans that are still mad about the AEW thing, yes.
Yeah. Jimmy, what do you got coming up soon, man?
Yeah, we're in Ring of Honor this weekend, Dayton and Chicago. You should always check those out. I don't know. Then after that, I'm up here in Michigan on February 2nd. I believe that's next weekend, right? And then, AEW on the 9th. I don't know. My February seems kind of slow now that I think about it. And, of course, Ring of Honor's in Long Island and New York City in February. I don't know. Yeah.
You used to have this, I believe it was an Angel Fire page as sort of an official website. Are you thinking about getting a real official website?
I was thinking about it. I swear, everybody's on MySpace these days. It's the only thing that matters, really. I mean, nobody uses email anymore. I don't really go to websites anymore. It's like all MySpace.
It's a new revolution. What's your MySpace?
It seriously is. MySpace.com/JimmyJacobs, yo. That's because I've been a member since like 2004. I got the Jimmy Jacobs when it was available.
Yeah, you were a member of MySpace when it wasn't even cool yet.
When it was just starting to get cool. You know who was a member way before it was cool? It was Alex Shelley. He's like the first guy I ever heard of being on MySpace.
It was like all the wrestlers used to use LiveJournal. Remember that?
Yeah, LiveJournal totally died out, right? Because of MySpace.
Everybody was on LiveJournal, and there was just a couple of people on MySpace, and we're like, what's MySpace? And now nobody's on LiveJournal no more.
Not at all. I got my little, you know, friends on LiveJournal, and nobody ever updates. It used to be a cool thing in 2004.
Yeah. So check it out, guys. MySpace.com/JimmyJacobs. It's the official MySpace of Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy, I want to congratulate you on your tag titles, and I hope you keep them for a while, and I'll look forward to seeing you again on Ring of Honor, my friend.
All right, take care.
Jimmy, look forward to seeing you Friday night in Dayton.
All right, I'll see you there.
All right, man.
All right. Jimmy Jacobs, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. Les, we are going to wrap up by quickly previewing the Royal Rumble. It's coming up this Sunday on pay-per-view at 8 p.m. Eastern. I just want to say, and I don't want to go match by match and rehash the pay-per-view prediction game, but I do want to say that I'm really interested in seeing what they're going to do with this Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy thing. This
you know,
is a match I'm looking forward to.
Hardy has come along so strong. I don't see them putting the strap on him this time around, but maybe at some point.
Yeah.
You know, a year ago I wouldn't have said that, but the way he's gotten over with the fans, what he's brought to the game as such, it's not beyond comprehension, I don't think.
Yeah, and guys, if you don't know, at the forums at WrestlingWeekly.com, we are going to have the gambling board up tomorrow night for Royal Rumble, which you can use your WW coins that you earned in the forums to have some fun, bet on some of these matches with us. Rey Mysterio versus Edge is also going to be one of the matches. It's a heavyweight championship match from the SmackDown, Brian. I don't really see Rey Mysterio coming out in this one either. I mean, Edge just came back.
I think, you know, Edge, I'll tell you what, Edge is a hell of a heel. I mean, he really is. He's turned into a hell of a performer as a heel, and he's one of the strongest they've got right now, I think he's more valuable with the belt than he. Well, not that he's not valuable without it, but I think as a champion, letting the baby faces chase him is just more effective that way.
Right. Also, the United States Champion MVP is going to be taking on Ric Flair. It's a career-threatening match. Rick is still on the story where he must win every match, and the first time he loses, he will be fired.
You know, this was a good concept until. It's kind of become, and I won't say obvious or apparent, at least it seems to me that they're not sure what to do with this whole angle with Flair because it's been so inconsistent with it. Although I think that, you know, I don't know how this will sound to everybody, I don't really care. MVP elevated his game through his series with Chris Benoit over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... he's in for another learning experience, and he's one of the young guys that's really come along pretty strong, honestly.
So you think Rick will take over this match?
Do I think what?
You think Rick will come out victor in this match?
Well, I think he's got to. I think if they're going with what the plan of, and I say I don't know for sure what the plan is, and they may not even know, but from all indications, this, you know, the whole deal is for him to take the wins into WrestleMania. You know, and retire at that point in time.
Right.
I expect him to come out on top of this. But again, MVP is going to, you know, it's going to school for him. And if this kid continues to learn, he's going to be a hell of a talent in a couple years.
Yeah, absolutely. But this would be a huge win for MVP to be able to say that he retired Ric Flair. Like you said, he had that great series of matches with Benoit. I think he sort of elevated it in his promos with the thing with Matt Hardy this year. Are they looking to push him to that next step? Or, you know,
was one of the better laid out storylines that I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Because it nobody rushed it. It didn't have to be over in 15 seconds. It was. They took some time with it and give it a chance to build and for the people to kind of get into it. And I think there's the problem with storylines, too. Currently, every place is that everybody's too big a hurry to finalize them, you know, and get from point A to the end.
Right.
You know, without and they rush through the middle too much. But, yeah, I think Matt and MVP was a good story. I even got some interest in seeing where they were going with that.
So this is an interesting match. It's hard to say to me who's going to come out on top of it because this could be a stepping stone for MVP to push him to the moon. They may, and I'm not saying it's true, but they may have decided to give up on this Ric Flair storyline and just have him go out. It is a pay-per-view. It is a big pay-per-view, one of the big five.
Well, you know what? I think part of the MVP character, though, is that MVP is not all he thinks he is.
Right.
And when he becomes all he thinks he is, then that kind of kills the character a little bit, you know?
Oh, that's a good point. That's going to be an interesting matchup. Looking forward to that. Also, this one's a toss-up to me for sort of the same reasons, Chris Jericho versus JBL. It seems like Chris hasn't been getting over the fans lately. We spoke about this earlier. I am assuming that the office is going to blame Chris Jericho for not getting over when I don't think he was really pushed properly. I know they gave it a try, but like we said earlier, you know, when you're trying to push something serious in between, you know, slapstick comedy, it's not going to work. But there is a chance that they could feel that Jericho's not getting over and have JBL come out in this match, man.
Well, you know, I'm not sure whether, you know, I was surprised this whole thing even came about, you know, that JBL came back and so forth. But,
right.
You know, Jericho's return was done as a top guy and quickly, you know, and this is no knock on him and or JBL for that matter, but what they're doing here is not, you know, not a top match. It's a mid-card deal. So,
right.
And I was one of the people that expected you know, Jericho to really help bring some interest back to some different things. But
yeah.
Again, it doesn't come down. It's, you know, a lot of it has to do with how you're used to. You can take a mediocre talent and set him up in the proper way. You know, in a way to make him interesting to people. And you can take an interesting guy who's got a lot of talent and not utilize him properly, and people will lose interest. So,
right.
You know, it's a little bit everybody's fault, I guess.
Right. Real quickly before we get out of here, shot in the dark, man. Royal Rumble match. Who's going to win?
God, I probably Triple H.
That's what I'm going to go with. I say Triple H is going to come out in the victor. We'll have to see. Check it out, guys, this Sunday on pay-per-view. Next week, guys, on Wrestling Weekly, we've got Tammy Sitch, a.k.a. Sunny. From her WWF days, she's going to be joining us as our featured guest. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. And we will see you again next Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. For Les Thatcher,
yes.
I'm Doc Young. We're out of here, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.